No need to encourage attachment.
Maybe that could bring another topic. This is a bit more personal. I hope you don't mind if I bring it up. But probably this year I'll be having a divorce and I'll be single again. And I think it's a good time for me at this stage in my life to think about what the meaning of relationships is and whether I want to perhaps, if there will be conditions for it, to renounce that aspect of my life. And in your book, you said, again, I don't have it here, but we can come to understand that it can be a burden to have loved ones and it can be a burden to have family, and it's possible that there can be a renunciation of that kind of attachment. And I know it's all due to conditions, and there's absolutely no way whatsoever I can decide that that's going to be the way I live my life. But I did appreciate at this point in my life, reading in the Perfections, the chapter on renunciation, just the idea of the possibility of choosing a life without the married life.
What about next life?
Well, what about next life? Well, that's what I always think about. I'd like it to be in the human realm or the divine realm. But I'm sorry, what do you mean by what about next life?
This is what you think about this life, and what about next life? Do you plan to?
Well, if she has money. I know that it's...
There's silly thinking.
Yeah, I know. But I did appreciate at this point... It's something that I should, or I am contemplating at this point. And I think hearing from a teacher, somebody you respect, who says that that can be a wholesome decision.
Why don't you just simply label, you want to be unmarried? Why say renunciation?
I've always been attracted to renunciation. Even before I came across the Dharma in my 20s, I would like to try to renounce certain sensual objects. It's something I've always been interested in, and it seems I have perhaps a natural tendency to it. And maybe there are accumulations in that direction. And I don't know if there are, but it's possible.
Not absolute yet.
Sorry?
Not absolute yet.
No.
Only Panya can bring about that.
It's not even close to absolute, but it's just that there's the possibility that something I'm thinking of.
Isn't that the kind of thing where intentions can be intentions, but they're just thinking at this moment, and where if there are conditions, if there are particular accumulations, it will happen
as it happens.
But it's like making a resolution to not do this or to do that.
But I think just there can be a moment of reflection on it that is gone, but it's a reflection that might stay with one in some way.
What about understanding attachment when it arises and it appears as it is, not so? That's the only way to fulfill your thought or resolution.
Yeah, the story of Phil.
Yeah.
Another topic that interests me is momentary death versus conventional death. And sometimes I feel that there's so much emphasis on momentary death. I think quite often Nina, when she talks, there's a lot of emphasis on momentary death.
It means that the understanding of reality right now, which arises and falls away.
But I think the idea of understanding momentary death at the citta level is something that I can only think about with attachment, but I don't have understanding anywhere near there. So I think conventional life and death is a great object for samvega and creating conditions for hopefully now being more aware of the present reality. But I think conventional death and recollection of aging, illness, death, and the separation are very, very helpful topics of reflection. But sometimes I've been frustrated because Nina always seems to go straight to the cheetah.
Well, do you think that the understanding about conventional death will lead you to understand momentary death? Or is it that understanding the present moment And coming back to the present moment will condition that.
I think that his comment is that thinking, reflecting on conventional death and the end of life and sickness and separation can be a condition for wise reflection and calm, and that if we emphasize too much on momentary death, it's alike something which we can't really appreciate.
And I feel the Buddha again and again taught in terms of conventional death to people whose understanding wasn't developed to the momentary level.
But how come the conventional death without a momentary death?
Well, it's just a concept. But again, a concept that is taught by the Buddha for motivating understanding.
But it's still I. So it cannot eradicate the idea of self.
No.
So when we read in suttas about conventional death and reflection on the passing of this life and sickness, aging, and so on, is the Buddha really pointing to momentary death?
Mm-hmm. To develop the understanding of it.
But even Buddhaghosa's commentary to Dhammapada, he talks about in our next life we will be greeted by the deeds we did in the previous life and things like that. So even at the commentary level, it seems that we're being encouraged to think about what we're taking with us to the next life.
And to understand it momentarily, death too. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we would be just at that level.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is even if at the commentary and the sub-commentary level, it seems to be just talking about the conventional death, mm-hmm. actually one has to know that whatever the Buddha taught is about momentary death. Or
and it depends on the reader.
And the reader's level of understanding.
Right. Because when we talk about death, what about reality right now to be known before death? Mm. Otherwise, after death, who knows that there can be understanding of it. So if we think carefully about just this words, it anchors the understanding of reality right now.
I hope I can remember what you said about with the dark sheet, are there friends here now? You know,
that's so true. The impermanent world, impermanent moment, impermanent life in darkness. And it's darker with avijja, thinking that it's one's own world, life.
So thinking about conventional death could obstruct understanding.
It depends, because it can condition whatever you have conditioned to understand reality right now to arise. So just develop or accumulate the understanding of reality, that's the best thing. No expectation for when it will arise to be the direct experience of it, or more understanding. It's like a penny each day.
The accumulated understanding, a penny a day, moment by moment.
David, talking about death and rebirth and anatta, would you like to try formulating your question about anatta and accumulations and birth and death?
Well, actually I'd like to do that tomorrow.
Not now.
Because death hasn't come yet.
Maybe not tomorrow.
Too late tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. John, the question had to do with the way Sanya, Vedana, Sankara, the arising and falling away of citta, the momentary death. And my question essentially was around how accumulations were transferred in the dying process in relation to anatta.
Exactly the same as a moment ago and now.
That's what Sarah said.
Everything arising and passing away completely. So how does it happen? The next moment comes about, same thing.
But the perception of self is very strong with Sanya and Vedana and the khandhas. And to understand that at the level of citta and not my body or myself or my person in terms of rebirth or relinking.
At moment of understanding reality, do you have to think about how about my understanding about body and mind? And
no, see? That's simply an exercise in thinking and what have you.
So when there's right understanding, at that moment there's no wrong view of self. So it's only the development of understanding realities all alone to eliminate the idea of self. It's only by having understanding developed.
I wonder why hearing you say that and it's sinking in much more than reading someone on the internet said. I think it's listening. It's listening. Well, that's why we come to listen to Ajahn.
Yeah. We come to hear.
Mm-hmm. But if there hadn't been the reading, there might not be the listening now. Yeah.
What about one separate world? Just one separate world. Nothing to do with other worlds.
Just the world of seeing, or just the world of hearing.
Or it's the same thing as one real world, one reality.
Otherwise, it's one world.
All mixed up.
So nowhere to see the anatomies, the arising and falling away of each one. When there's no connection, it's different. And this comes from directly understanding with awareness by conditions too.
World of seeing, world of hearing, world of thinking.
They don't know each other.
Now I understand why Nina says, when I leave here, I'm going to forget all this. And that's why you listen again and again and again.
It's the thinking with self that puts together what we consider the conventional world.
Buddha also think, but no, wrong view.
Right. So it's the thinking, but for us it's thinking.
Right, self and wrong view.
According to what you said before, sanya viparasa, citta viparasa without ditti viparasa. Then akusala citta arasas. Is there anything left for tomorrow?
There must be so much.
I've got a notebook full of topics. Well, thank you, Sarah, for bringing up what Sarah calls my pet peeves. And I'm sure I'm going to need to ask again and listen again, because they're not going to be solved just listening once, but it's a good start.
What about the one about us all taking comfort in the Dharma?
Well, yeah, I've brought that up a couple times today, thinking about Paramattha Dhammas is, I think we all want to be happy and we seek happiness whatever we do in life. And again, I wonder if thinking about Paramattha Dhammas is so pleasant that we could just be attached to it, and at the same time, if one is...
Different moments.
But then you go on to suggest a different...
Option. Well, I think rather than a different option, what I say is the danger that, again, if we're transgressing, I'm thinking more danger for people who are prone to akusala kammapada, and that if there was a lot of transgression while one was, and you've said, and I've understood that there can be understanding no matter what we're doing, but what if what it is just thinking about Paramattha Dhammas while we are actually performing Akusala Kamapata, and I think it's a danger.
Different moments, right? Mm. You're trying to throw away the good moments along with what you fear may arise.
Well, I think what Phil's saying is that people who have an understanding of Dhammas may not care about Sila, for example, because they just...
Because of understanding, they can understand what is the benefit of Sila. Mm.
And the harm of Akusa.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go as far as saying that people don't care about the Sila, and I probably have never said that.
Well, that's the implication, because what you say is they're happy to transgress because they're thinking of
it's
Dhammas.
It's only a Paramattha Dhamma. So that somehow reflecting on Paramattha Dhammas being anatta is an excuse
can be a kind of justifiable...
Well, actually, Al was saying that on the way down in the car, talking about someone who has a lot of dosa and says, well, it's...
It's just dosa, it's not...
It's dosa, it's by conditions.
And she's
interested in
her.
Just anatta rather than getting rid of a dosa.
That's not understanding the
it
danger
of it. No understanding at that moment of what one says.
The way I do, can you explain more?
Just repeating,
not really understanding. Mm.
Because there isn't really any seeing of the harm of the dosa.
And getting back to Phil, I thought you had a personal experience. Not that I'm asking you to tell us about them, but this was based on your own instance of doing something you later regretted justifying that, okay, but I'm understanding about Dhammas.
Yeah. After I joined DSG and started listening to your talks, at one point I went home to Canada during a vacation and I got into some really bad behavior that turned out to be very harmful for my marriage, and I think during that time, I remember that there was a sort of a sense that, well, I'm doing what's conditioned. I have accumulations to do this, and I could sort of understand why it was happening and why I was doing it. And I think there could have been a more protective kind of appreciation of the way the Buddha says, listen, you have to stop doing this because it's going to be harmful to yourself and to other people. And I think at that point, because there wasn't enough understanding, that's why it happened. But
all our moments of thinking, sometimes wholesome, sometimes unwholesome, but it's only thinking, not understanding that there's a self.
I'm still going to have to think about whether the Buddha taught in ways to protect us from bad behavior. Well, I mean, I really enjoyed and appreciate listening to you today, but I'm obviously going to still be thinking the Buddha taught us, people of low understanding, to avoid evil deeds.
With understanding or without understanding?
Without understanding, because it would be for people of low understanding. And he cared, he had compassion for people of all levels of understanding. And even people who didn't have enough understanding to appreciate the
for
deeper...
For people who do not hear about the teachings of anatta-ness, it's impossible for them to understand realities as not self. But
sure,
for those who have heard about it, it depends on conditions.
But the Buddha still cared about the people who didn't have the conditions to understand anatta.
With understanding of reality too. Not just leave them only at that level.
But he would surely have understood that at that level, by avoiding the evil deeds, perhaps there could be conditions for the understanding
so
to develop.
It depends on the listeners.
And I think at that time, the teaching I needed to hear was the teaching that said, don't do this deed. I remember with the precepts, I thought just keeping the precepts didn't indicate an understanding and it was too much like other religions. So I was attracted to the idea, well, the precepts represent the behavior of a person of understanding and that sort of thing.
That's right.
Which is right. But at that time, 5 years ago or whenever it was, I wasn't ready for that. And what I needed to hear then was what I might hear from other teachers, that that deed is disgusting, don't do it.
By hearing about the teachings, one can think about one's own behavior and precepts with much more understanding. Mm. It's not so.